this word. Take away our stubbornness that we all have from time to time, Lord. The desire that we all sometimes have to come looking for somebody to agree with us, Lord. Show us something new. Show us something we don't know. Change our minds, Lord, if that's what it takes sometimes. Let us not come stiff-necked, but let us come pliable and flexible and malleable so that, like the clay in the potter's hand, Lord, that you can mold us to the vessel that you would have us be, a vessel that's worthy to house your Holy Spirit and your purpose that you have for us. So we thank you for this word that's getting ready to come, and we thank you for the one that's giving it, and we give you the permission, Lord, to have your way in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give it up for the word.
Test 1, 2. Everybody hear me, right?
Yes.
You know, I like to send a shout out to some people this morning that may be listening in. Chassie Lane from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I had this young lady in school many, many years ago. She was a Reeves. I don't know all you local people if you know, remember Chastity or not. But she's been listening in. Renee Wallace from up in Ohio. Who's been listening in. There's another one of my students I had years ago. And Camilla Kelly from Richmond, Virginia, been listening in this morning. So people all over the country, Sister Duff, you're listening in this morning. Thank you for listening. Thank you all for being back home. I am so glad to see you guys, man. You must not be as glad to see me as I am see you. Amen. And I appreciate that. I'm not worthy of those words that Pastor Heath said. And I appreciate the encouragement. It does mean a lot. I've said this often before, and we don't say it a lot because I don't want to draw anything myself, but pastors need encouragement. If you don't think they do, you try it for a while. Okay? So, and you'll see. And man, Trevor, whoa, man, look at Trevor back here. Trevor went through this big, extensive ear surgery. Look here, he's back with us and his friend with him. And I'm so glad to see Trevor. He came through a lot this morning. A lot of you here this morning, maybe for the first time, people revisiting and back with us. And it's so great. You know, we have a brother here, and his name is William. William Hall. William's been writing us, right, William? He's been writing us from Lost Creek. His life was powerfully impacted at Duffield when he was serving there. And he just recently got out. And he said, inside the walls, he said, Lost Creek is my home. And if you don't think he believed it, look at that. The proof's in the pudding. So, Heath, could you just take a mic? Because he wants to just say, what an impact. See, you all don't realize the importance of prison ministry and jail ministry. You know, it powerfully impacts people. And Brother Jack's not with us, but he's been so faithful, and our prison team have been so faithful. But I want you to just tell me what you told me in the office about how powerful that has been to you.
First of all, I'd like to thank God for giving me another change. I want y'all to know that I've done 2 years in there, and without Christ and without the prayers of Lost Creek and the support from y'all and the Bible studies that goes on in there from Pastor Brother Jack Church. You know, I would have given up a long time ago. I was diagnosed with cancer. I'm in stage 3 cancer. And I felt like giving up many a times. And that's when I started writing the church and asking for prayer. They gave me a year to live when I was in there. That's been 2 years ago. That song, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. And, I learned that Christ, they would try to keep him in 4 walls. The tombs couldn't keep him in, you know. And Nothing Satan's got to offer us is ours if we don't reach out and take it.
That's right.
And I want to thank y'all for welcoming me to church here. I will be coming back. I want to thank y'all for all your prayers, and I love all of you.
So I got to say this. I know this is Dad's preaching, but, you know, we all have these days where, like, you know, man, you know, the dog got in the pond today. That's my bad day. My brother's been in jail for 2 years with a year to live with pancreatic cancer, and he says, I'm praising God anyway. Come on. I don't got no excuse. I don't got no excuse. God bless you, brother.
I want us, before the service is over with, I want us to pray. How many knows that God's bigger than cancer? Yes. And Sister Earlene, back there in the back, and she's not been able to be with us in a while, but she was coming up to me and said, Pastor R, I want you to pray for my granddaughter, right? She's really going through a dark time and really needs intervention right now. So many of us in this room can relate to that in so many levels. Is that not true? And so I want Amber, you and Juwan back there, lay hands on her right now. I want every prayer in here right now, and then we'll pray for William here in just a little bit, because I want to pray a prayer of healing, deliverance for him. But I want to pray. I feel impressed to do this right now. I want us to. There's a desperation out of her tears this morning. You got grandchildren in here. You got kids. Have you ever shed tears for them? Have you been broken? Hurt for them? Okay. Well, if you're in that situation right now, maybe you've not said a lot. Who knows what God will do for you if you take your faith right now and move it toward this family right now and say, God, I believe for a breakthrough in that young granddaughter's life right now. Come on, you pray that prayer with me right now. Just speak that over her life right now in Jesus' name. Freedom, Lord, from oppression, oppressive spirits, freedom from depression, addiction, whatever underlying situation may be there. We say, Jesus, you're greater. And in your name, we declare freedom and deliverance in that child's life today, that young lady's life today, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Do we believe it to be so today? Then give him one more praise. Come on. Something wrong with that praise picture. One day I'm gonna deliver a word the Lord blesses me to on the purpose of putting your hands together. Sometimes we think we just do it to be doing it. Biblically, there's a reason why we do that. Okay? We ain't gonna go into that right now. But one more time, how many can believe for her and give God praise as though it's done? Come on. Amen. Okay. As he pointed out just a minute ago, I got to be fast and short. Okay. Fast and furious. Because we are adhering to our time thing. Because we got little oaks over there in that next building. And we can't have them over there all big long time. And because, how many knows the kids not as patient as adults? I don't know. Sometimes I think we still don't grow up. And you know what? You see that young lady right there? I married her way too young. And she was way too young. But God's hand was on it. And he redeemed us. And he brought us, but the 5th. I don't know what day that was. Friday. Okay. What is today? Okay. We celebrated 49 years of her putting up with me. that? 49. 49 years. Hey, you know what? There's some of you in this room not even that old. Okay. There's only a couple people in here, three, that's got me beat. Okay? But not by much. And I appreciate her. Because as he said, she is, and she is so humble, and I try to push her to do more, and she needs to do more, but she is such a powerful.
He was doing so good, too. He was really trying.
Steve? Hey, Steve, that is called sticking your foot in your mouth. But I didn't mean that. I just, Becky, what I really meant, Becky.
You think he's tough on you guys?
What I meant was, she just needs to teach more. She is such a powerful, gifted teacher, woman of God. She really is. All right. Now, if you have a Bible, it's good to clear things. You know, laughing does a heart good like a medicine to a sick soul. Laughter is good. And I don't know why people think that they can't laugh in church, like it's disrespectful or something. Oh, Jesus. Oh, listen. Laughter is an awesome thing. And so today, we can laugh together. We can cry together. And celebrate together. It's all part of life, okay? And this morning, if you have a Bible, there's something really stirring in my heart this morning. And there are a lot of things stirring in my heart. But I'd like for you to go to probably one of my favorite books in the Bible, the book of Acts, okay? And Acts is a powerful book written by a doctor by the name of Luke, okay? And he wrote the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is really, we celebrated last week Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is when the church was birthed by the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It fell upon those in the upper room, okay? So the story in Acts chapter 3 that we're going to share is not many days after that, Heath, after the formation, after the birth of this powerful thing we call the church today. And I like what our brother said today. The church is not in a box. It's not a building. The church is an organism. It's not even an organization. And if people define their denominations or their church as an organization, they're missing something, because the church is an organism. It's a breathing, moving, living thing. We have breath and we have life. We're talking about the breath of God, the Ruach. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night. The breath, the same breath that Ezekiel saw in 37, Ezekiel 37, when God breathed upon the valley of dry bones. Do I have you with me this morning? It's important that you be with me today, okay? And if I've lost you already, man, then I'm in trouble, okay? So if you were up here preaching, man, I'd be cheering you on. I'd be cheering you on. Don't you leave me, okay? You hang with me. All right. So God breathed upon this valley of dry bones, and an army was raised from the desert sand, and God put an army together made out of hopeless lives that were had lost their dreams and lost their hope, slain by their enemies today, in a valley full of bones. But the Ruach, the breath of God, breathed upon them. And in Acts chapter 2, the breath, the Ruach of God, came from heaven and breathed upon those men in the upper room. And these men's lives were never the same. And there the church was born. In Acts chapter 3, we have incidences throughout the book of Acts of things happening through the history those early years and those years when the church was birthed and the promise of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit lived, and the authority and the power that they were operating in and working in today. Today we have a power. We have a power available to us. We have a power available to us. This power is in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's life in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, it's that authority and power that Peter, John was operating in when they went to the temple to pray. And they were going together. And they went up together. How powerful it is when you and I go up together. Oh, you missed that. When you missed it, I know. Are you with me today? Come on. Are you with me? I said how good it is and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment that flowed down Aaron's head and into his beard and to his skirts. How precious it is when people come together. Amen. And we celebrate this powerful thing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And they came up together. They came up together. They came up together. How can, come on, bro, get up. How can two walk together unless you agree? If you can't agree with me, then we can't walk together. Do you understand what I'm saying? How powerful the old winging finish it, Jacob. Sorry. How awesome it is, Michelle. Peter and John came up to the temple together. They came up together to the place of prayer and worship. They came together. Shout together. Thank you, brother. So Peter and John, 3 o'clock in the day, 3 o'clock on Sunday, we're probably watching NFL, if there was NFL, baseball, basketball, depends on what you're doing, or we're hanging out with the family, which is a good thing. But at 3 o'clock in the day, Peter and John went together. Kathy and I have not always agreed with each other. We think together is always, Becky, let me call you and Henry out a little bit. Do you and Henry always agree? Don't tell me. Don't sit there and tell me you do, okay? Okay, because how about you, Teresa and Gary? Becky, Jason, come on. Okay. I didn't even ask it. Already shaking the heads no. All right. No, head shaking no. Listen, being together doesn't mean you always agree on the same thing. Regardless of what you agree on, you're together, amen. You got your idea. She's got her idea. But you can't walk together unless you agree. Amen. Things happen when people come together. And there was a miracle that needed to take place in Acts chapter 3. You know the miracles that's not even happened here? Let me tell you where they are. In Norton, there's miracles in Norton's never happened yet. There's miracles in Pound, Virginia, that's not happened. There's miracles in Appalachia that's never happened yet. There's miracles in Kingsport that's never happened yet. There's miracles in Big Stone that's never happened. There's miracles in this nation that's never happened yet. And so, this unity creates a dysfunction, which creates a breaking circuit. If you've got a breaking circuit, you're not going to get power to what whatever you need, get power too. That's got to be together. Before it can carry the current, it's got to be together. I'm not an electrician, but if your wires are not together, you're not going to get lights. How many knows that? If your wires are not together, you're not going to have power. Everybody shout power. Whoa. Power. They went up together. They went up together. We've not often agreed. We've had our down times. I can sit here and say, oh, bless the Lord. Me and Mrs. R, we've always seen eye to eye. We've never argued. We've never fussed. We've never pouted. Come on, some of you looking at me like. But regardless, we're together. We're together. We're together. And Peter and John went up to the temple to pray together. Well, I love that. We could just stay there for a while, but we won't. I don't have time. And we've been talking about unity on Wednesday nights. And some of you need to be here on Wednesday nights. Yeah, you do. Garth Brooks' thing is tearing up here. Oh, Jesus, I've messed it up now. Okay, all right, we got it. And they went up to the temple together at the hour of prayer. Acts chapter 2, they were all together in one place and one mind and one accord. We talked about that Wednesday night for those that listened in. Things happen when we're together. Things happen when we come together under the canopy of Jesus. Oh, he said, were as many as two or three would gather together. Come on, shout it out with me. I've lost it. Together. Everybody say together. In my name, Steve, I will be there in the midst. That's a promise. God said the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit would gather together with us. And then now, see what happens. That's where miracles take place. Oh, how many in here ever needed a miracle in your life? Can I tell you? The miracle is no further than the person you are sitting there in your seat. We've all needed miracles, amen? We've all needed miracles. Yeah, one little miracle sitting back here, and her name is Hattie. The doctor said she wouldn't live but just a few minutes after the birth of this child. Now, she misses Pastor R, and I see those eyes rolling to follow me. You know what? The powerful thing is here is they said she wouldn't live. Oh, but don't anybody tell Jesus that. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Whoa, man. Oh, we're just getting into it. Jenny Will has a special place called the Honey Hole, the fish in over there at the lake. But, you know, I feel like I'm in a honey hole right now this morning. I feel like the Holy Spirit has just tipped the honey bucket over. And now I'm just basking in the glory of God. So you say, I don't feel anything. Get together. Get together. I didn't say you have to understand this crazy person like me or know everything that I'm doing. But get together with me. Amen. All right. So they went up to the temple to pray. Everybody say pray. They prayed together, and it was the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And there was a certain lame man. You see, every day they brought this man For 40 years, this man had been lame. 40 years. See, this man was lame from birth. Some people are lame for various reasons. Injury, accident, a disease can leave people lame. A fall can leave people lame. Becky, like Mephibosheth in the book of Samuel, and how he was dropped by his nurse, his nanny. He was dropped on fleeing from what they thought would be death when David took over the kingdom. And they fled, and as she was running, she dropped him, and he must have had a spinal injury because he stayed lame the rest of, he stayed crippled the rest of his life. But later on, the story said that David sought him out. He sought the lame out. David was a king, and he sought the lame out. Jesus is our king, and he seeks the lame out. I don't know if you've ever read this, but Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. How many knows you were lame at one time? Who, me? Me? Was I lame? Yes. Some of you may be lame today. You've been hurt. You've been dropped. You've been injured. Life has hit you. Listen, things like depression can leave you lame. Living under a blanket or an identity of depression, owning the very disease, as cruel and dark as it is, labeling yourself. Listen, regardless of your lameness or your condition, regardless of how it got there, regardless, sometimes we're born, and this man was lame from his mother's womb. When she came forth, he came forth, he was lame. And maybe, and we know for certain, Bobby, that he had no recollection of what it was at one time to run and skip and jump like all the other kids, and to have a normal life, to play ball and do all the things. He had no recollection of what it was to be whole. He was lame from his birth. He was lame from his birth. He was lame. People are born into a world that's cursed by sin. But I'm here to tell you, Heath was talking about good news. I'm here to tell you some good news today, because the curse has been broken. Amen. I don't know where you were. I don't know if you was in the grocery store. I don't know what aisle you were going down. I don't know if you were making phone calls right then in your mind to somebody. But I'm saying today, Jesus removed the curse from you and I. The curse is everyone that hangs on that tree. So the sentence of lameness has been removed. Jesus removed that. He broke that. He broke the chains and the fetters. Let me see if I can think of that. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. You'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, now you're just warming up. Come on. I want you to say it with me. If you've ever had chains broken in your life, they didn't get broken just because of a religion, but didn't get broken because of some evangelist or somebody laid hands on you. They didn't get broken because of some great name preacher. They got broken because of Jesus. Amen. If you've got chains on you today, call on the name of Jesus. There's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Come on. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, sing it. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, sing it. There is power in the name. Woo, yes. Yeah, you'll break the chain. Jesus in this place. I'm not even worthy. And a certain man lame. Man, don't tell me this man didn't have chains. He wore them for 40 years. When you wear something long enough, it becomes part of you. Your addiction can be a part of your life. It can be what you get used to. It can be what you're accustomed to, so you can't see yourself free. Come on, Tiff, you know what I'm talking. You can't see yourself free because you're constantly identifying with the label that someone put over you and your failure put on you. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a Jesus in the house. Amen. And he comes to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, from his 40 years, he went through the routine, the same thing every day. Buffering, or on the hamster wheel. Every day his life was the same way. Every day his mess was the same mess. Every day his demise and his frustrations were the same. Every day his chaotic thought processing was the same. Every day he would sit at that gate and see people go in and see people come out. Can I tell you something? Every day there's people see you come in and they see you go out. Oh yes. You know what? They see you in the marketplaces. They see you in the Walmart. They see you coming in and they see you going out. And they sit there hopeless. I look at emptiness in people's eyes most days when I see people. I see people who really can't look at me in the face. I see people when they talk to me, they look down because they've lost their hope. 40 years being in the same place, you kind of lose your hope, Steve. Oh, going through the routine, the same thing every day. You want freedom, you want healing. Some people want it, but they don't know how to attain it. Some people desire it, and they try to seek it, but they don't know how to wrap around it. But today I'm telling you, there's a Jesus in the house. He'll break every chain. Break your chain. Break every chain. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. Come on. There is freedom in the name. Come on, you all got me. Come on. There is freedom in the name. Break every chain. Give him one more praise. You're praising the one that's ready to break your chain. Miss Selena, Kathy, and I have been singing Jesus songs all morning. Why Why do we think the answer is always in something else? The gospel has got to be more complicated than that. I mean, there's got to be more to it. Jesus didn't set it that way. He just said it so if a man would believe in it, then he could set him free. And he laid there in the same place and had been lame for 40 years. That's a long time. There's that 40 number again. And the Bible said he was carried there because he couldn't get himself there. Placed in the same place. And when they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, there's a lot of people don't understand that word. And I gave some images. I don't know if you've seen those images or not, but there's an image of a gate in Jerusalem called the gate called Beautiful. You have that picture of that old city wall and that gate. This city wall, that's what it originally looked like. Look out. Listen, these walls were huge. They were made out of brass. And they were like, compared to what the gardens had hung in Babylon, that King Xerxes had made, the hanging gardens, if you've studied in history. So this is like one of the beautiful edifices in the world. And people come to this place and they entered this temple through those huge, beautiful doors. Every day people would come in and out for prayer. They come in and out for prayer. They come in and out for prayer. It's amazing that people who stay or are sitting and have sit there for a while at the gate but never go in. It's amazing the people who come Sunday after Sunday. They encounter the presence of Jesus. They hear praise songs sung. They feel something moving up and down their life. They feel a tug in their heart. They feel things moving in their life. I've even seen people sit there and fight off the decision to turn their life to Jesus. I've seen people sit there and tears running down their cheek, hitting the floor underneath them, standing at the gate, but not going in. How many know you can be so close, but not close enough? You can be about there, but not there. Amen. How many knows that you gotta get through the gate? You know what this was saying? That Jesus was the gate. Jesus always said he was the gate. He says, I'm the door to the sheepfold. I'm the gate. I've got the key. If you want to get inside, you got to go through the gatekeeper. Jesus is the gate. He's the door. He's the door to eternal life. If you want joy in your life, you want healing in your life, you want peace in your life, go through the door. Jesus is that door. He said, no man can come to the Father except through and by me. I'm the door to the sheepfold. And if any man will come to me, I'll lead him out to green pasture. I'll lead him out to more. I'll lead him out to blessing. But you got to get through the gate. This man couldn't go through the gate. He only saw people coming in and out of the gate at a place, at a gate called Beautiful. You know, that's what the church should be in the eyes of people. We should be a beautiful experience. Oh, we should be a beautiful experience. When people come to a place of worship, I'm going to tell you something. It's not necessarily common for people who need to be inside the gate to come inside the gate or to a place of familiar, a place familiar to us as a place to worship. But Jesus is that door. And today, what they should experience when they come to us is nothing but invitation. Nothing but invitation. Nothing but invitation. Are you with me today? Nothing but invitation. When we leave the presence of God, it ought to be a beautiful experience. And so here we are, and we got to close, and we'll pick it up another time. And he was lame for 40 years. And so Peter and John, we'll leave it right here, and there's so much more, and we'll try to pick it up, Lord willing, next time. But Peter and John came to him, and this man sat there because there was a lot of traffic going in and out. And he sat there begging alms. He would hold his hand out, or he'd hold his vessel out, and by hand extension, people would go in and out. They would drop something in his container to help him out. That's his livelihood. So Peter, John came to him, and they saw him sitting there. And he came up to him, and the Bible says he expecting something of them. Can I say something to you? Maybe your expectations are not high enough. Maybe you've just settled with the shiny, glittery stuff all your life. Maybe you've just settled for the person or the relationship that's necessarily not God's plan. Maybe you've just settled for something that wasn't maybe God was about. Maybe you've just settled for the shiny and the glittery when God says there's more to it than that. Amen. Maybe you need to quit expecting your answer in the wrong places. You're looking in the wrong places. You can't find happiness in drugs. Listen, you can find a momentary high or a momentary escape from reality. But when you wake up, you've got the same realness facing you there. You still got a broken life. You still got a broken heart. You still got answers that can't be answered. What are you looking for? The silver and gold? I don't have any silver and gold. Some people think preachers are rich. Whoa. That's the opinion that some people think school teachers were. Back years ago, they think, whoa, man, school teachers, they got it made, man. They make a lot of money. Oh, I wish you tried on some of the classes I had on. Oh, Cheryl. Oh, give me my other job. It's not in the silver and gold. It's not in what you define as the fineries of life. It's not in monetary value. It's not in money. It's not in games. It's not in toys. It's not in homes. It's not in buildings. It's not in relationships. The only life of peace and total joy is found in the name of Jesus. Amen. He'll break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Expecting to receive something of them. Peter and John, just little preacher boys, all full of the Holy Ghost. The fact is, this man asked the right person. Silver and gold I have, I none. But I want to get you this, is this is where we're going to park it, right here. But such as I have. You know, you got something that money can't buy. Woo, you ain't got got it yet. I don't believe you got it yet. You're not there with me. I said you got something in here. Money can't buy. You got something in here a one-night stand can't give you. You got something in here that drugs or alcohol can't give you. You got something in here the world can't give you. The world didn't give it to me. And guess what? The world can't take it away. The world didn't give it to me. COVID-19 can't take it away. The world didn't give it to me. And hatred can't take it away. If you want to spend all your energy hating me, go to it, honey. Go right to it. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. The world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. The world didn't give me Jesus. The world didn't give me Jesus. And the world can't take him away. There is power in the name. Come on. Come on, where's that voice?
In the name of Jesus,
I pray so hard I can't
there
see.
Is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every
were forbidden to go inside. There's people, thousands of people today, who feel they have no entry into what you and I enjoy today. Can we tell you why? Most of them are lame, or they're halt, or they're blind. I've got a problem. Nobody would want me. Oh. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, Jesus said, and I'll give you rest. Take that yoke upon yourself. Follow me, Jesus said. Come unto me, those that are broken and burdened, and I'll give you rest. The blind, the lame, they couldn't go into the presence of worship. They were unclean. They were defiled. And they couldn't touch anybody else because it would make them unclean and defiled. Oh, God help us. And how dare we look down upon people who are broken and are lame and are blind. The same grace you needed at one time when you were lost in your sins, when you cried out to a real Jesus and said, Jesus, I need hope. He came flooding into your life. He never judged you because he took your judgment. He never considered you unworthy because his blood made you worthy. Today, how powerful it is to be here today, standing in the presence of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And think about this. I don't have silver and gold, but this is what I do have. In the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Some of you ain't got it. I believe you checked out on me 10 minutes ago. You checked out. You're already in Wally World, and we ain't even left the building. Listen, you're going to miss yours. You're going to miss yours. You're going to miss yours. It's time for you to lay that junk down and get a hold of something that means something. Amen. I'm like Heath was. I'm fired up. Don't you sit there and make fun of my blessing. Don't you sit there and criticize me because I'm getting blessed. Some of you need it too, hoss. Hallelujah. And there's power in the name of Jesus. He says, in the name of Jesus, we have been given that name. We have been authorized in that name. We've been authorized, Connie, in that name. Do you realize you've got the name of Jesus inside you? The power, Jody, of Jesus living inside you to break every chain. Not just break your chains, but break the chains around you. In the minute marks, giving crosses out at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Watching a little broken kid cry, sitting in your preacher car for 2 or 3 hours. Do you know what broke chains that, brother? I don't even know what kind of car. What is it? It's a Hyundai. It's a Holy Ghost Hyundai. Because when they sat in that car, something failed. When you walk in a room, Stephanie, something on a break. Something on a break free. When Peter walked by in this same gospel, when Peter walked by, people, Joe would lay lame people, sick people beside the road. There were so many. He couldn't pray for them. He couldn't lay hands on them. What happened, sweetie pie? He walked by and his own shadow fell on them. Woo! He'll break every chain. Break every chain. Yeah! There is power
in the name of Jesus.
Now sing it out to me. Come on.
There is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
For all those listening in and those here today, I've run just a little bit over time. We're in overtime today, okay? Some games go into overtime. I promise you, I didn't do it on purpose. If you have a complaint, take it up with the complaint department, okay? Amen. I'll say this. The name of Jesus is a strong tower that the righteous run to. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. How many times I've run to this strong tower and found my peace and strength. In Philippians 2, it says, Paul said, that he has been given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know what? Oh, for years we preached that in evangelism as just a primary word to the sinner. And it can be. But it's the word to all of us today that the name of Jesus is above every name. There are some people are afraid when they hear COVID-19 mentioned. Oh! And I understand that we should respect. We don't want to get sick. Nobody here, whatever it is, it's strep throat or flu or influenza, whatever you call it, flu. Or whatever it is. COVID-19, it's been devastating. But I'm going to tell you something. that people are forgetting. The name of Jesus is greater than any disease or sickness. And can I say something? There's a spirit of unrest in our nation because of social injustice. It's horrible. It's spawned from the devil himself. Hatred is spawned by the devil himself. Let me tell you something. Jesus is a name above hatred. Jesus' name is greater than racism. Jesus' name is greater than addiction. Jesus' name is greater than depression. Jesus' name is greater than fear. So Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? For I'm with you, and I'll never leave you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not checking out. You may go on vacation, but I never go on vacation. I'm going to be with you on the trip." Amen. Yeah, I'm going to be with you on the trip. I'm going to be with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I'm with you always. And they shout always. He's faithful when you're not. Yeah. When you decide, "Well, I just want to stay home." He's faithful anyway. Woo, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Turn to somebody and say, "Oh, Jesus loves me." Before we leave here today, I'd like for us to all sing this song today. We've got power in the name of Jesus. And I'd like to close on this one verse of song right here. We're ready to close shop. Thank you. I promise I'll do better next time. I'll do better next time. I'll do better next time. But I'm sorry. I've been in a honey hole. I've been fishing, and I keep pulling them in, you see. I keep pulling them in. Woo! Are you with me today? Are you with me today? Don't check out now. Don't check out. You know why? Because somebody's at the gate. Somebody in here today is at the gate, and they need to get in. They need to get past your beautifulness. They need to get in the gate. And we're sitting here, oh, how dare us to come here and get all cheered up and excited and just land it right there. Go in and out the gate ourselves. When there are people standing here today that need a miracle, amen. There are people today that need to get through the gate. So Jesus is saying, "Come." And listen, I don't want you to be intimidated. We all respect your personal space. Nobody won't get in your face. But if you need Jesus today, I don't care if you've been saved 90 years. If you need Jesus, I want you up here. If you need Jesus for whatever reason you need him for, right now, I want you to come. I don't want you to leave this building coming to the edge or the gate and not going through. I want you to get on through today. I want you to get your miracle. I want you to get your breakthrough, Teresa. I want you to go through the gate right now. If you're here, I want you to come. I want you to come. I'm not going to beg you. If I have to beg you to be here, it ain't worth a dime or a nickel. Listen, you know if you need Jesus or not. Don't stand there and act like you don't need him, because you do need him. I need him. How many knows we all need him? Amen. If you need something from God, brother.